statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. More to be desired are they than gold, gay than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey.
Still something new to learn. Praise God. Well, I've got a title for our teaching today, and I'm calling this Our Faith Must Feed Off God's Word. Our faith must feed off God's Word. And I want to introduce this to very familiar verses in the Gospel of John, chapter 1. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, and we'll look at some various verses here just to reveal to us why we must feed off God's Word. And I want us to look first at the first few verses of John 1. Verses 1 to 5, and it opens up here, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. So in those first five verses, it's so profound what is found there, because we find that the Word, the idea of the Word, the revelation of the Word, our concept of the Word, our idea of the Word, the very Bible we hold in our hands, it says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So the Word was with God, and the Word was God, or the Word is God. When we refer to the Word of God, it is his Word. He cannot separate himself from his Word. His Word reveals himself. This is a revelation of God to us, and his Word, and his message, and his promises. This is why in the deeper life we make so much about the promises of God's Word. And it goes on to reveal about this Word, he was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. Talking of Christ himself. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And this light shines in darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. So for us to understand the Word of God, to partake of the Word, to know about the Word, we need that light that shines in darkness to illumine, to reveal to us. The world is in darkness until that light comes into your life and my life. And the first thing it begins to do is to shine and light up the Word of God. And rightly so. Let's look at some more verses with this chapter. Verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So, through the fall of man, falling into sin and unbelief, the Word took on flesh. In other words, God took on flesh, who is the Word. And the Word we heard through Jesus. Jesus was the Word, the light of the Word. He spoke the Word. He preached the Word. He revealed the Word and the signs of the Word. Men were called by the Word. The disciples followed Jesus because of the Word. And it says that Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And of course then the Apostle John bears witness of this, the forerunner, who has a revelation of the Lamb that's coming, one greater. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Revelation. Revelation 19 and verse 13. Revelation 19 and verse 13. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. So his name is the Word of God, because the Word of God reveals the name of God and his names. So this Word, the Word that became flesh, the Word that was spoken into being by God, is a Word that is alive. It is real, and it is a message today, now, this moment. And it speaks to us and will speak to us throughout eternity. This Word that we hold will never cease. It will always speak throughout eternity, because you cannot separate God from his Word. And he became flesh, revealing himself as the Word, the promise of God's Word. So, our faith must feed off God's Word. And this takes really, in many ways, a revelation. And if we're walking in that light, then we're going to have an understanding of the Word. Now, one of the characteristics of an overcomer is their desire for the Word. They are faithful to the Word, and they will follow wherever the Word is. They will make that effort to hear the Word. They will be where the Word is spoken, under the anointing, the unction of the Spirit. That is why Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together, there am I in the midst. There is just something within the overcomer that has to have this Word. We don't always understand it. We don't understand this compulsion, this desire. It doesn't make any sense in the natural. You can't always get your head around it, but it feels right. It is right. It's what my soul, my being, my very faith needs to hear. Because we know that faith comes by hearing the word of God. And this is what is sorting out the men from the boys in these last days. I spoke recently on Gideon's army, how God selected down from 32,000 to 300 on the basis of how they received of the water. There's spiritual water, it's that word. And God looks into the heart, how we are receiving of this word. Is this word changing our lives? Is this word getting our attention? Is this word wanting to be a part of our life, living it, walking it, feeding off it? That is the question. Now, we might flummox at it. We might fall over at times, you know. But the point is, it doesn't change that desire. And that is the point. And it's sad to say, not all have it. Oh, they like to read the scripture or whatever it is, or read the word when they're going through a trial or whatever it is. But are they feasting off it? That's the question. You see, the Bible, the emphasis in the Bible is that we believe. And something within us, as we are reading the scriptures, there's something within us compels us, that tells us, I need to believe this. These scriptures that I believe, I have to believe this. This has to become a part of me. This word, the revelation of this word, I have to live it and experience it. That is what an overcomer desires. And an overcomer is one who hears the word, reads the word, studies it, and talks to God about it as well. And that is how you grow. It's not just simply a book that you read. Because it is alive, it is real. It speaks today, now, this moment. It is speaking life to me. I can choose to believe or to reject it. We have that choice. And so the word is so paramount. It is so important because we're told that faith comes by hearing the word of God. It's not just reading, you have to hear it. And it has to be ministered to us under the unction of the anointing. It is the anointed word that drops from our heads to our hearts. The word that we hear, the word that we preach has to be experienced, because the word is God and the word became flesh and his name is Jesus. You can't divide any of this. So that when you read this or you hear this, it's like if the Lord were here speaking to us direct. That is why we have the Holy Spirit. He said, I will come back to you. I will not leave you, but I will come back. I will comfort you. I will teach you. I will lead you. I will guide you. That is why when we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we are receiving the Lord Jesus Christ, because he said, I will come back to you by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. So when the Holy Spirit speaks to us, he ministers to us. That is as good as Jesus being here in the flesh. Because we walk by faith and not by sight. And so the emphasis in the Bible, as we read it, as we hear it, is the challenge is always, do you believe? And he said it even just takes a mustard seed of faith. There's the mercy of God. Many, many times Jesus challenged them and his followers. He challenged them, do you believe? Because on that basis of belief, that faith, God then can grant. He gives. And we know that our faith, it does cost us. It is a commitment. It is a consecration. It is a walking daily with the Lord. As we learn more and more and we feed off the Word of God. You see, the Word of God isn't just reading. It's more than that. It's a spiritual food. It's feeding off it. Jesus said, I am the living bread. I have come down from heaven. And we feed on that spiritual living bread. And those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, God says they will be filled. And so when we start to get an appetite for the Word of God, we find that we need to continue eating in which to survive spiritually and walk as a Christian, a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is absolutely paramount if we're to walk with God. And so our faith, as the Word of God shows us, is alive, is a real. It's not just the theological study about faith, but my life, my walk, my witness is a reality, is an example of faith. Now, you may not always be aware of that, but people around you, they're looking. As I say so often, the world is not reading their Bibles, but they read the Christians. And so the Holy Spirit will work within us so that we live, we breathe, we move. Our whole being is because of the Word of God that feeds us and encourages us in the faith. You see, our faith, our belief is that we stand and that we endure in this life. It's not just something that we embrace or we hear now and again. It's an ongoing thing. It has to produce something. We have to remain with it, faithful in this life. Now let's turn to Luke chapter 8 and verse 13. Luke chapter 8 and verse 13, which you know very well, the parable of the sower, one of the greatest parables that Jesus gave. Because this tells us about the Word, it tells us about our stand, it tells us what's going on, what's happening with us. This is a great parable to diagnose what's going on. In verse 11 of Luke 8, now the parable is this, the seed is the Word of God. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. So the enemy is there. The enemy is around. He doesn't like the Word of God. He doesn't like us reading, studying the Word of God. He doesn't want us to hear the Word of God under the anointing. So he is around, and he's around right now, still up to his tricks. He doesn't change. So those by the wayside are the ones who hear, The devil comes and he takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Well, you can't sow seed in the wayside. It's a path. It's a road, in other words. It's something where feet go up and down. They walk up and down. You can't sow seed there. And so the enemy, whatever seed has been sown, he grabs it, takes it, because he's a thief. That's his nature. Verse 13. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and those have no root, who believe for a while, and in time of temptation fall away. There's a lot of those like that. Yes, they hear the word. They believe for a while, for a season. Yes, and their faith is working. Yes, it looks as though faith is really doing something in their lives. God's answering their prayers, it seems. But there's a problem. Because it says, but the ones on the rock are those, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root. You can't make root into rock. And there's the problem. And what does the rock signify? It signifies the heart. The word that they're hearing is not penetrating into the heart. It is not changing the heart, because that is what the word of God is to do. It's not, in other words, it's not dropping that 18 inches from the head to the heart. And so when you hear the word of God, the word of God not only must give us faith, but it must change our hearts from stone to flesh. And that is a work. That is a lifelong walk. And it says that for a while they believe, and in time of trial or temptation they fall away. So when the trial comes, because the heart has not been touched or affected, they fall away. And they fall away because they become despondent. Well, I thought this faith works. I thought these promises were actually real. And they're dishonest and they fall away. And they blame something or blame God or whatever it is. I've heard so many who are like that. But they cannot be honest that they didn't let the word change their hearts. Work on the heart, circumcising it. But you see, an overcomer will. He or she has learnt something, because that is what the word is to do. Now, the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they have heard, they go out and are choked with cares, riches and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. So they're not producing any fruit, those ones. They're hearing the word. They're listening to the word, but they are seeing the word for their pleasure, for their riches, for prosperity. Now, I believe in prosperity. You know I do. But prosperity is for the glory of God. And although it's free, it is not cheap. These people, they're choked with the cares of the world, and they try to use their faith because their hearts are still in the world. They don't like that separation. Wherefore, come out from among them and be separate, and touch not the unclean thing, the word of God says. They don't want that separation. They want to be Christians, but they want to also be worldly and live in the world and use their faith for themselves. Me, self, I. In other words, self has not been dealt with. The surrendering up of the self life, that cross that you two are to take up daily and follow. And so they bring no fruit to maturity. And the Lord said, by the fruit you will know them. Their fruit is corrupt. It's selfish. It's what I want. And sadly, we see that around. There's a lot of ministries that are like this. Merchandising on money. Living lives, you know, like film stars. They have planes, they have cars, chauffeurs, they have bodyguards, and so on. Did our Lord Jesus walk that way? No. And yet many follow these ministries. Here they are, verse 14. Now it goes on, 15. But the ones that fell on good ground, and those who, having heard the word, with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. So the overcomers here, the ones where the word falls on good ground, that means the heart is being worked on. You're being worked on. You're bowing the knee, you're humbling yourselves before God. You're allowing God to change you and to mold you by the power of His Spirit. Those having heard the word with a good heart, an open heart. And what does it say? They keep it. They don't let the enemy take it away. They hold it. It's precious to them. Why? Because they have a revelation of who that word is, and that word is Jesus. And they don't want to be separated from Him. You see? They keep it, and they bear fruit with what? Patience. They've got that patience. They're staying with it, whatever it looks like, no matter how many are following. I will stay with it. I will be faithful. It is my spiritual food. That's why our faith must feed off God's word. To be patient, to bear that fruit as an overcomer. But there are those who only want faith just for blessings and what I can get out of it. And I'm afraid it isn't that at all. Our faith is that we may make it into the kingdom of God. That is the ultimate of our faith. And so our faith continually feeds off God. And the overcomers have seen their real food. They don't just see these promises. They don't just read them. But as they read them, as we feed off this, this is my Father's heart to me. This is my Father's will to me. This is how He thinks. This is what He wants for me. They get that deeper insight of what this word is. It becomes personal. It's not just an academic book, a theological book, which sadly a lot of Christians read. No, there is something so personal about God's word. As we open it up, as we read it, or as we hear it, that is God's heart to me. That is why faith comes by hearing the word of God. That is why we need to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. You may say to me, well, what is the Spirit saying to the church? Listen, He's speaking right now. The Spirit is saying, my word is my love to you. It's my heart to you. It is my covenant to you. That's what this word is. It's not just a message. It's not just a sermon. It's much more than that. And that is what changes us. That is what works with our heart. Because our faith has to be in the heart. It cannot remain just in the head. It has to be in the heart. And we know when it's in the heart because we will confess from the heart. We can be snared by our words, as we know. And we know if we're not believing because it will come out of our mouths. And that is an indication. That is telling you you're not yet fully convinced of your Father's message and heart to you. Because when it goes to the heart, we confess what is in the heart. And we will confess this word. And all that is contained within the word of God. It alters our confession. It alters our thinking. It alters everything. When the word of God drops that 18 inches from the head to the heart. When the word of God is in the heart, it is a part of you. If I can say this without coming over theologically wrong, but when the word of God is in your heart, you are a part of it, and it is a part of you. Of his fullness we have received. Christ in you, the hope of glory. We are one with him. And it is exactly the same with the word. And the word of God and the promises of God. They become a part of your life, your living, your confession, your thinking, your actions. You can't live without it. Why? Because he is the living bread. And bread signifies food, spiritual food. Are you getting this now, brothers and sisters? Are you beginning to understand what God is saying about this word? That our faith must feed off God's word. And overcomers have seen their real food. Those that are going on with Christ in faith, they have seen what their real food is, what sustains, preserves, and keeps them in this life. They have that revelation, they have that insight to the word of God because they're feeding off God's word. And overcomers have seen their real food. And they pay the cost to get it. The same as we have to go out and buy our food, so they pay the cost to get the word of God into their lives. And that cost is, I will go, I will hear where the word of God is being preached, where it will feed me. Where it will sustain me and keep me alive. Because not all are preaching the anointed word of God. We know that. There are many you don't have to put your ears to because there's poison attached to it. God's word is a pure word, undefiled word. And you can only release faith when you hear the word of God. And it's the pure word of God. If it's defiled, if it's got poison attached to it, how can you release faith to that? You can't. That's why Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. That new birth that we have received. There is something within us when we know when the great shepherd is speaking to us. Because we have need of it to be fed. And I'll tell you something, that this food, which costs us to get it, is not junk food. There is so much spiritual junk food that is around today. You have to search for this. Not all are preaching it. And the places where you think it should be, sadly it isn't. And this fresh food keeps us spiritual. It keeps us healthy. It keeps us whole in mind, body, and spirit, because faith comes by hearing the word of God, Romans 10:17. And it keeps us spiritually healthy. It keeps us in fellowship with God and each other. And it's ministering wholeness to us, to our whole being. That is why I believe the word of God is the word to the whole man, body, soul, spirit. That is how the word is preached. That is its message. Anything less than that is not what we should be having, because it's health to our whole being. And that's why our faith must be given this spiritual food regularly. It's like shopping, brothers and sisters. You know, as I was preparing this, I just felt the Holy Spirit impressed to me. It's like going shopping. You know, we have to make an effort to go out and buy food. And sometimes it can be an effort, you know, when you go shopping or there's a lot of people and queues and whatever. But we have to go out, we have to shop, or we have to get food in, because it's our survival. And like all foods, if they're fresh foods, they have to be prepared. Someone needs to know how to cook. Someone needs to understand recipes. You look at recipes, you try things out, or you go back to the usual thing, because what you eat, that recipe, is the test of time. It's good. I know this recipe is good. We've had it before, and we'll have it again. Just like the same with the Word of God. Sometimes we go over and over the same thing. The same as we can eat foods that we like, and we can eat it once, twice, three times the same a week. Well, how much more spiritually? Well, we get an idea of this, what I'm talking about, from Isaiah 28, chapter 28. Isaiah 28 and verses 9 to 10. Isaiah 28 verses 9 to 10. Whom will he teach knowledge? And whom will he make to understand the message? Those just weaned from milk, and those just drawn from the breasts. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little. And so it goes on. This is how God deals with man, to illuminate God's word. This is how he educates our mind as we hear the word of God. This is what God was doing with Israel. But of course, she wouldn't have it. She was stiff-necked. She would reject the word of God. But we start with the milk of the word, the same as our mother's milk, and that fine food, and moving on to the meat of the word that it speaks of in Hebrews. And then it says, precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line upon line. It means it's being built up over the centuries. God's word has been tried and tested. He has proved himself through the word of God as he reveals his word through the generations, as he revealed himself to the nation of Israel, as he revealed himself to the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and so on, all confirming his word, and with those signs that follow. Just like those recipes that you have, that you go back to, because you know that that recipe can produce something that's good and tasty and presentable. Well, how much more with God's word? To learn and to have that knowledge of God and his will and to understand the doctrines in order for what? To believe. Otherwise, we can't believe. We can't release that faith. And sadly, I think that's why there's so much unbelief today amongst Christendom, because they are confused about the word of God. They're not convinced by it. They're putting their ears to one ministry, to another ministry, to that ministry and so on, and they land up getting more and more confused and don't know who to believe. And the enemy has a field day. But you see, when you hear that word, and you know that word that's going deep into the heart, you settle on that. It's like I've come home. This is good for me. This is what I will grow by. This is where I will get faith to stand and endure in these last days. Israel was given the priests and the teachers to give them faith. But we know that they didn't really have a heart for it. They were rebellious. But we know that in God's mercy and grace, he hasn't given up on Israel. He will restore them again in the last days. That's the love and mercy of God. Because you see, God doesn't divorce. Israel played the harlot. She's divorced God, but he hasn't divorced her. Because the Bible said Bible says God hates divorce. He loathes it. And yet, what is it? One? What is it? Three? One in every three marriages is ending in divorce or separation? No. God remains faithful. And God remains faithful to you and to me. And that's why he doesn't want us playing the harlot. He doesn't want us going off, finding other spiritual lovers. That's why he's jealous over us. He's espoused us to him, to himself, to one. We're one with him in union. And of course he refers that in Ephesians to the marriage, to the church. That's where we get the revelation, the idea of all of this. But going back to this food, this spiritual food, like food, there are foods that we love, and there are some foods that we're not so fond of. But we eat it because we know it is needful for our diet. Vegetables are needful for our diets. But a lot of people have a problem with vegetables. Or the only vegetable they eat is a potato. But you have to eat green vegetables and a variety. And so it's the same with our diet. And it's the same with our spiritual diet. This is why God gives us the word of God. This is why he reveals so much of himself in different ways. But food also, we like food to be served in the right environment. We like food to be served at a table with the family, or if we go out to a meal, a nice restaurant. The ambience, the environment is part of the experience. And it's exactly the same with us. What is that? That is God's presence to us in the meeting. That is God's presence to us as we receive the word of God. So it's not only just receiving the word, hearing the word, but we're receiving God's presence in the word. That's what a minister should be anointed to do. Food is served in the right environment. And that's why Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together, there am I in the midst. And who nicer can you have than the Lord Jesus himself? And then we eat until we are sufficiently full. We are pleasantly full. We don't eat until we are stuffed or we gorge ourselves, which of course is what the children of Israel did with the manna. They were greed. No, that is not what we do with the word of God. And I know there are some people who go overboard with the word of God. They become almost religious. They can't put it down. They've got to read, or they've got to memorize a scripture a day, or they've got to remember that verse. They gorge themselves. You can't get faith that way. That is not how you eat. That's not what you're made for. We eat until we are sufficiently full, so that we then will be hungry again for our next spiritual meal. Everything is balanced with what God does in our lives. That is why I don't preach and have meetings every day. I mean, it'd be jolly hard anyway to do that, but I do know of some fellowships that meet almost every day. But I am not sure that faith comes that way, because you can stuff yourself too much and then you do not appreciate it anymore. In fact, you feel sick, you feel full, bloated. And that food has not been pleasant, it's not been good. It's often greed that's working. So you see, brothers and sisters, these are the conditions faith must have. You see, believing is eating of God's word. And this comes by hearing. And so as I bring this to a close and a conclusion, the word of God that we're hearing, that we study, and what you study and look at, you're eating of that. That is your spiritual food. That is what keeps you alive. That is what enables you to be able to stand and endure to the end. This word is living. God's word is God. The living bread came down from heaven. We read it in the Gospel of John, chapter 1. So it is living to you. What we have been receiving, our fellowship that today, is living to us. This is why when we hear the word, we eat of the word, we partake of the word, it's going to produce something in your life. And what does it produce? It produces the fact that you're not only hearers, but doers of the word that James says. Because that is what the living word is to do. It's not just to fill your head with a lot of theological facts. It's to become alive in your life and walk. It's to become your confession, your belief. And as you embrace this word and live this word, God's love message to you and I, one of the things you are going to clearly find that it's going to do, it's going to wean you away from depending upon the arm of the flesh of man. This word will get you to totally rely and depend upon Almighty God and God Himself. That's why we preach the deeper life message, faith. So that you can trust God for everything. And He will be faithful. Because you cannot separate God from His word and His word and word from God. And if you stay with this, neither can you or will you be separated from God's word. Because it's become a part of you. It's become your life. You are one with it as He is one with you. That is what this word is supposed to do. It's not just listening to a sermon or reading the scriptures. This is life to me. This is my spiritual food. This is what keeps me alive spiritually until the Lord Jesus Christ comes. This is so important. If this word, God's word, is to do this in our lives. Too many are just listening and, yes, that was a nice teaching. Yes, that was a nice sermon. But lives are not changing. Unless your life is changed by this word, it has not done its purpose. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. Because the Lord said in Hebrews 11:6 that without faith it is impossible to please Him. It actually reads that it's sin when we don't believe. And that is why Jesus will rebuke us. Because He said all we need is just a mustard seed of faith. And that's why our faith must become like a child in our believing. To just simply believe. We may not understand it. We don't understand all of it, but the Holy Spirit, He will enlighten. He will show you if there are any questions, things you don't quite understand. He has come as your comforter, your teacher. You do not need to run to man. When we do that, that's when we get confused. Because so often they will give us not necessarily heresy, but it's just worldly. It's of the flesh. Flesh and blood doesn't reveal this, brothers and sisters. This comes by the Spirit of God. And this is why it's God who works in your life. It is God who touches us to be able to receive the revelation of His word and to have our minds illumined by it. You cannot get this through natural means. It is revelation. And when it is revelation, when you see that, then it is food to you. This is what sustains, keeps you alive. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You again that You have spoken to us with regard to Your word. Lord, we've heard it in many ways before, and yet You want us to hear it again. We need to get more from our heads to our hearts. Father, help us. Help us to get the word into our hearts, Lord. Because from the heart is our confession. From the heart is our belief. From the heart is our action. From the heart is our true worship to You. Father, change these hearts of stone to hearts of flesh. Father, we want to live. We want to walk this word. We don't only want to be hearers, but doers of it. Father, we want to trust You for everything and to know that You will provide For you said, seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these things will be added. These things in life that we have need of. Food on our tables, clothes on our back, jobs, homes, all those things that you've said we're not even to take thought about. Father, help us to get this right. Time is so short. We're seeing the falling away now in the world. Diseases, pestilences, earthquakes, all those things spoken of are increasing daily. Father, help us to look up as our redemption draws near. Enable us, help us, Lord, to walk by faith and not by sight. Let your word take hold of our lives and change us and mould us for your glory. Oh, Father, we thank you for your mercy and grace. We thank you, Lord, you don't give up on us. Sometimes we fall flat on our face and you're there to support and help us up. You don't condemn us. You don't make fun of us. You don't laugh at us when we get it wrong. You're there to encourage all the time. Thank you, Father, tonight for your encouragement through this word. You give us that hope. If God be for us, who can be against us? And it doesn't matter what the world thinks. We are your peculiar treasure, set apart unto you. And Father, wherever we go, whatever we say, and whoever we meet, may we walk in the light and take that light with us.
Seek ye first the Jesus. In these days, as he's feeding us out of his mouth, this is a word of life to us, a word that we take and we devour. It becomes our very being, doesn't it? Man shall not